Hello and welcome to Series 4, Episode 12 of Fleet Die Hard, an independent podcast of an independent view from an independent supporter of all things on and off the pitch, as always, from my favourite club, the mighty Ebbsfleet United. So, yes, as I said, it's Wednesday. It's the day after Tuesday. And for those of you that don't know the score from last night's game, we beat Dulwich Hamlets by 3-1. But I'm sure you all already know that. And that makes 4 wins on the trot now. So that's fantastic news. It appears... And I hope I'm not just about to put the mockers on that, but it appears that the blip was a blip and nothing more than a blip. So hopefully we've now got the Christmas stuffing well and truly out of our systems, and we're now once again firing on all cylinders. So as you will remember, at the beginning of the season, we went on a 23-game unbeaten run. We're now, you know, then we've had this blip in the middle, and we're now on a current 4 consecutive win run of results. So that's pretty good. The other bit of good news as well last night, let's talk about the game first of all. And as you know, in my podcast, I very rarely actually discuss too much of the game because, you know, you're all supporters, so you either watched it, you either got on the coach or made your journey down to Dulwich last night, or you listened to it on BBC Sports app with the mighty of Radio Kent, with the mighty Lord Chaz doing the commentary, or you know, you would have found some other way. So I'm not going to go into too much detail other than to say I was delighted. And I must say, got egg on my face a little bit to see Coulthurst getting a goal. He scored the first goal, and he also got an assist as well. And I think he hit the post at least once, possibly hit the post twice. Can't remember, but definitely one of his best games in a Fleet shirt. Absolutely. And I'm going to touch on that a little bit later on because I listened to Dennis Kutrieb's interview, post-match interview, literally just half an hour ago on YouTube it was on. So I had a little look at that just to see what he had to say about it. So I'll just sort of repeat what he said about Coulthurst. But so we won 3-1. We went 2-0 up, and I have to say the first half was... amazing to watch. It was like the Fleet that were playing the way we know Ebbsfleet can play. They were fast. They were first to the ball. They were incisive. Their passing was accurate. They were just too much for Dulwich Hamlet to deal with. And consequently, we went 2 up, which was fantastic. Then, however, I mean, the one weakness that I could see, and I've seen all season, is that we are still shaky at the back. That there's still work, in my opinion, to be done in defence at the back. Because whenever, whoever it is, when they launch an attack, we do look susceptible to conceding goals. And subsequently, we did concede a goal last night. Less said about that, the better. But then we went on and got the third goal. So Cundall got the second goal. And McQueen, good old Darren McQueen, who started, yes, last night, by the way, he didn't come on as a sub. He scored the third and final goal. Dulwich also had a player sent off. There was a bit of a... Nobody saw it from our side. Well, so we were our end. We were behind the goal. As always, we usually try and stand behind the opposing team's goal, and the ball from, as we were facing the pitch from behind the goal, the ball was played from the right side of the field over to the left. And of course, your eyes are following the ball and seeing what's going on. And then all of a sudden, play was stopped. There was some kind of ruckus going on, sort of down almost by the halfway line, it looked like, maybe a touch further. And subsequently, a Dunwich player got sent off. So that helped our cause as well. Always nice to have a helping hand if you can get it. So where does that leave us? That leaves us 3 points clear now. This is where it starts to look very healthy for us. So we're 3 points clear ahead of Dartford in second place, as we know. But now we have a game in hand over Dartford, and we're 3 points clear. So that's a little cushion there. So Dartford have played the same amount of games as us. We got a game in hand over Dartford. Are 2 points behind. Let me get that right. Haven't will be 2 points behind if they win their games in hand. So it's just ideal. So as it stands at the moment, providing we go on and pick up maximum points in the rest of our games, long shot, I understand. But our future now, our promotion now, is in our hands again. Nobody can change it now except for us. We're not reliant on results. We're not reliant on goal difference or anything like that. All we've got to do is win our games. We've got 19 games left. So a possible 19, 38, 48, 50, 57 points still on the table there. So there's a lot of points to play for. As I've said before, I would have thought the way we started, the 23-game unbeaten run, it would have been nice to have been in a position where at this stage of the season, January coming into February, the title was pretty much wrapped up. And I think in any other season, that would have been the way. But, you know, it's not. We threw points away over Christmas, as we know, against Dartford, threw 6 points away there. So the healthy gap that we were building got eradicated, unfortunately. But, you know, as I say, we're back on track. But it was, good. It was interesting. It was an interesting evening, actually. So I went with the Fleet Trust coach, and it was, we left quite early. Normally, for those of you that travel on a coach, as you'll probably know, we normally leave it fairly late so that we get there, you know, 45 minutes, half an hour to spare before kickoff, if not a little bit later. I think that's a conscious decision by the people, the board of the Fleet Trust, or the people that arrange the coaches, because I don't know, it's possibly to do with they don't want us getting into the pub and getting loads of alcohol down our throat. But the truth of the matter is, if you look at the people that go on the coach, the majority of those are not the sort of people that want to rush to the pub and sink as many pints as they can. Of course, I want to rush to the pub, and I want to sink as many pints as I can. But in general, they don't. They're more, should we say, slightly more mature lot. So that's never really an issue. But anyway, yeah, we left, our coach was due to leave at 4:30. Now, bear in mind, Dunwich is only about an hour away. Our coach was delayed. Our coach was late. There was some kind of mix-up. So when our coach arrived, the driver was a young lad who looked about 12 years old. He come from Bolton, apparently. And he sort of said, oh, I wasn't supposed to be working. I'm sorry, I'm not in a uniform, and blah, blah, blah. I got called in late. So there was obviously some kind of mix-up back at the coach company or the organisation there somewhere. But anyway, so we got away about 4:45, and we was, crikey, I think we were there just after 5:30. I was in the pub at, 5:45 to 6:45. Nice little pub called the Cherry Tree. So if we ever have the misfortune to go to Dunwich Hamlet again, and you are looking for, if it's a Saturday, you want to get there a little bit early and get a couple of pints in first, it's always, that was a nice little pub. It's called the Cherry Tree. And if you come out of, if you go by train, if you come out of Dunwich East or East Dunwich train station, cross the road and turn right, it's about 50 yards up on the left-hand side. You can't miss it. It was a tiny bit student-y, I guess. Wasn't the split and sawdust sort of pub that I'm used to. But it was nice. It was nice beers, Estrella. Very nice. So that was that. Now, when we get to the ground, nice and early, as I say, but we left, me and my friends, my son and my friend, we left the pub and made it to the ground probably with, 15-20 minutes to spare before kickoff was due. But as soon as we walked into the ground, they were announcing over the tannoy that the kickoff is going to be delayed and it's now going to be 8:05 because there'd been some kind of problem with the coach. The players hadn't arrived. The players were late getting there, which is a little bit embarrassing, isn't it? I don't know how that's happened, because I thought they left before us, but maybe they didn't. As I said, we had a trouble-free journey. I understand there was some kind of problem with the coach. I don't know what the problem was. I'm sure it'll be on the forum or on social media somewhere. But either way, it became fairly obvious to me after the game that there was probably a little bit deeper an issue with that. And I'm imagining that Dennis and co weren't entirely happy with the driver, because when we had the journey home, our young lad, Mr. Bolton driver, announced that he was now driving the player coach back, and we were having the driver from the player coach drive us back. And it was a fine journey back. But so I can only imagine that there was an issue with maybe something the driver did or didn't do. I don't know. But it was interesting, because after the game, obviously Dennis has done his interview, and amongst other things, he talked about the coach, and he apologised first of all for being late for a game for the second time this season, and he gave assurances that this won't. Well, I guess you could never say for certain, but he gave assurances that this won't happen again. He said that we need to be better prepared, quote unquote, if this is the bus company or whatever, we will sort it. So I'm guessing there was an issue with the bus company, with the driver. Be interesting to find out. It doesn't really change our experience of the evening. It just gave us a little bit longer in the bar, in the warmth, to be honest. But there you go. He also went on to mention, so just to quote some of, or to mention what Dennis was talking about in the YouTube clip that I saw, the interview with him. He said it was, well, let's talk about Coulthurst first of all, actually. And then I'll come to what Dennis was saying. I'm not a Coulthurst fan. I haven't been a Coulthurst fan all season. I don't think I'm alone in that. I think there's, you've only got to listen to other supporters on the terrace, and you can hear them moaning and groaning about Colthurst, about how he plays or doesn't play. And so I was a bit disappointed. When we went through the team sheet, when the team sheet came out, and I saw that Colthurst was starting as one of the... I think we started with three forwards. Colthurst being one of them, I was like, oh, shit, not Colthurst. Never mind. The rest of the squad I was very happy with. I was particularly pleased to see McQueen playing. I was pleased to see Josh Wright playing, and so on and so forth. But I wasn't very happy that Colthurst was in the starting 11. However, he had, as I said earlier, probably the best game he's had in a Fleet shirt. In fact, definitely the best game he's had in a Fleet shirt. He was brilliant. He played really, really well. The change in him was remarkable. You know, you walk away thinking, why doesn't he do that every week? Why has he had so many bad games and today he's just had a blinder? Well, Dennis sort of touched on it, I think, because, I mean, he sort of leapt to his defence in his interview by saying that, he said, you know, Colthurst is too good a player to be sitting on the bench week in, week out. He said, if you see him in training, he's like he was in the game. He's fast, he's first, he's, you know, he's excellent. He's very sharp. And he said, interestingly, he said he'd had a long chat this week with Colthurst. So it's obviously been something that's been playing on the manager's mind as well. There's obviously been some kind of issue maybe with attitude, I'm assuming. I don't know. Maybe Colthurst just feels that everybody's on his back. And, you know, let's be honest, we're not all built the same, are we? And if there, you know, there are certain people that you can shout abuse at them all day long and it's water off a duck's back. And in fact, they thrive off it. You know, I can imagine people like Vinnie Jones and that back in the day would have loved all that, you know. Non-league football is a much more intimate game. You're that much closer to the supporters because they're not crowds of 70,000. You hear the voices more and they become more personal. And I guess, you know, we're all human. Some people can't take criticism. If you think about it, guys, if you're all doing your work and all you can hear is people moaning about how you do your job, how crap you are at it, wake up, get on with your work, you're bloody useless. Why are you doing that wrong? Why are you doing this? It's going to have an effect on you as a professional, isn't it? As a professional, in whatever role you're in, whatever job you're in, it's got to have an effect. So maybe, I don't know this, obviously, but maybe that's what's happened. Maybe there's been, that's had a, you know, the negative comments and shouts from people. Well, you can't stop it. It's going to happen. It's what football is. It's a working class game, working class people going to the match. It's for an ideal time and place for people to vent their frustrations of their working week at the end of the week or wherever, you know? So you're never, ever going to stop it. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not one of these campaigners, oh, you should support the team. I'm not one of those. I'm just observing that there could be a reason why. So perhaps he has, you know, perhaps he's not mentally I think strong enough is the wrong word, but I'm going to say it. Perhaps he's not mentally strong enough to deal with all the negativity that has been coming at him this season, and it's had an effect on him. So I think Dennis has sat him down and had a conversation with him, and I guess, like any good manager in any profession, he's realised that some people need a kick up the arse and some people need an arm around them. And I'm guessing that Dennis has put his arm around, you know, not literally, or maybe literally, who knows, but Dennis has put a rhetorical arm around Corthurst, and said, you know, ignore them. I believe in you. Your teammates believe in you. We see what you do out on the training pitch week in, week out. All you got to do is bring that to the game, bring it to the table. And I reckon whatever was said, whether it was that or not, whatever was said has obviously done the trick, because he came out like a new man last night and he performed how we would want to see him perform. And if he performs like that for the rest of the season, it's like having a new player in your squad, and you've just strengthened our squad and strengthened our attacking possibilities. So you've got to say well done to Colthurst, but you also have to say, if that's the case, what great management by Dennis. Love him or hate him, that's good management. I read somewhere the other day, and I heard this a long time ago anyway, people don't leave because of the job. They leave because of bad management, usually. They leave their jobs because of bad management, or they perform badly because they're not managed well. And that's true. Never a truer word said. So there you go. So that's the situation with Colthurst. Dennis went on to say that it was almost a perfect day yesterday, apart from the late arrival. And I agree with his analysis. He said we were very, very sharp in the first half, not so sharp in the second half. And I agree, that seems to be the case. That's how it was. So with 19 games to go, as I said, it's in our hands. Now let's talk about something else away from the football side of it and away from the player side of it, which, if any of you were there last night, Dulwich Hamlets, Hamlet, not Hamlets. What a weird bunch of people, number one, supporters. They were all... now, my son went last season, and I don't know why I didn't make it last year, probably work, but my son went, and I remember him telling me that they were a really weird bunch there. He said they weren't... There was 3,000 there last year, but they weren't there for the football. He said they literally were not interested in the football, to the point where someone just said their backs turned to the game, they had a pint in their hand and were talking to each other, blah, 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 almost as if it was like a social gathering and that was more important than the actual game that was happening on the pitch. It wasn't quite to that degree last night, but I sort of got a taste of what he meant, because I think there was only about, 1,200 people there, 1,000 or something like that, I'm not sure. But their supporters, there was some that were obviously hardcore, lifelong, you know, committed supporters. But there was an awful lot of, I don't know what you want to call them. I suppose you could call them like yuppie types. They were all in their long city type overcoats. You know, they're not the woolen tweedy overcoats, with a long scarf wrapped around them and hanging down, and you know, the coat was open, and their shirt, they still had their office shirt on, and you know, and they just didn't seem the football type, if that makes sense. Oh yeah, a very weird bunch. Not a particularly great ground, I got to say. Very basic. Everything's all on one level there. The only thing that I thought was going to be good, I mean, the bar was quite nice upstairs. I didn't have a drink in that bar, to be honest, but that looked quite big and quite nice. But the thing I was looking forward to was the food. They did kebabs and all that, which somebody told me were very good. So I decided to queue for a kebab. But the queue was really, really long and didn't seem to be moving at all. So somebody then said, there's a burger bar at the other end. It's empty. There's no one at it. I thought, okay, well, we'll do that then. So we wandered down to get a burger and chips. Well, excuse me. The burgers that were cooking on the tray, plate, whatever you want to call it, heating plate, They all looked really small burgers, like the roundness of them. They were. It's only 1/4 pounders. That's for sure. The burgers were £7 a burger, and as I say, it was a basic burger, a lump of cheese chucked on the top, and a little bit of lettuce. The rolls that they came in were really, really cold. They didn't toast them or heat them up in any way. The chips, although they tasted nice, were £5. So my burger and chips cost me £12. Now, I wouldn't have minded it being £12 if that was some kind of gourmet burger and, you know, the chips were like, you know, double roasted or whatever you call it, double heated. It was just probably one of the worst burgers I've had at a football match for a long, long time. I think the one before that I had, which I threw straight in the bin after having one bite, was up at Salford when we were in the National League. And this would have I should have just thrown it in the bin because it wasn't pleasant in any way, shape or form. So there you go. That's all there was to say about the actual match, the experience at the ground. I haven't really got anything else to say apart from it's all looking good again. We're all feeling positive again. Onwards and upwards. I've got another game on Saturday, which I won't be making it to because guess what? I'm working. Unfortunately, God, I wish I had weekends off. So I won't be there. I'm not sure when I'm going to be at the next game. I've got to work it out. But anyway, I'll be listening to Lord Chaz, Charles Webster on Kent Radio Kent app, and look forward to another 3 points, guys. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. There's not been too much in it. I just thought I wanted to talk about what happened last night and the journey and everything else. So I hope I've given you a little bit of a picture of my view on things. And I look forward to speaking to you all next time I see you down at the ground or on the coach or on an away match or wherever. Come up and say hello. Tell me what you think of the podcasts, good or bad. I really don't mind. I just like the feedback. And please tell your friends about it. If you liked it, tell your friends about it. Get them on board. Get them to listen. I'd like to get the listenership up a little bit. And I don't know if you can subscribe if you're listening on Spotify or wherever. Subscribe to it or on Apple, iTunes or whatever. But anyway, guys, that's it. I'm out of here. Onwards and upwards. Up the Fleet.